Welcome to Victory Bible Time, sponsored by Victory Baptist Church of Codin, Alabama. Victory Bible Time appreciates your listening to the broadcast each time and pray it is a blessing to you. And stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast for the address. The speaker is Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. And now, Brother Reed.
Well, greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glad to have you with us again by radio today. And we do hope that the radio broadcast is a blessing to all. We're reading from the book of James, James chapter 4. And I want to read verse 14 to begin our message. We'll read some of the surrounding verses with this particular passage in just a moment. But notice with me in verse 14, the book of James in the New Testament, in verse 14, and the title of our message today is, What is Your Life? This question is actually asked here in the book of James. Well, reading in verse 14, and he says this, this is the word of God now. He says, Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. Well, Heavenly Father, we do ask your blessings today upon the reading of thy precious word. And Father, we pray today for that soul that's near his tail that they'd come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we also pray for the saints that they'd be edified today. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, before we actually get into our message and really kind of dissect this text and look at it, I'd like to mention to you some resources that are available that are free of charge. You can find us on the web at biblicaltruth.info. That is biblicaltruth.info, I-N-F-O. And on that website, there's many resources that are available, but two of the main things on that website is sermons and articles. We have hundreds of sermons and articles that are available on the website. An article is just simply a sermon in print, and the sermons, most of them are preached in our church. They're full-length sermons, so any subject that we would cover on the radio, when we would cover that in our church, we would have basically twice as long, and there'd be many more scripture references and thoughts that would be put in to that particular sermon. So I hope you take advantage of that. And again, that website is biblicaltruth.info, I-N-F-O, or you can also find us at sermonaudio.com. If you go to sermonaudio.com, you would need to go to the sidebar where it says speakers, which has to do with the preachers or ministers. And on that section, type in my name, Robert Reed, and that would carry you to our home page. But again, if you go to biblicaltruth.info, that brings you directly to our particular website. Well, let us consider today, for a few moments, our text in the book of James, chapter 4, and verse 14, where the question is asked, What is your life? What is your life? Well, you'll notice with me, I'm going to back up now and read from verse 13 through verse 17 to kind of pick up the context. And he says here in these passages, he said, Go to now, ye that say, Today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Verse 14, Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. Verse 15. For that you ought to say, If the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. Verse 16. But now you rejoice in your boastings, as such rejoicing is evil. Verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Inner context with the question that is asked, what is your life? That's the title of our message today. This is a good question to ask. What is our life? In the context, he says in verse 13, go to now, ye that say. In other words, those who are saying, well, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, buy and sell and get gain. In other words, decisions that are made in life. You see, life is filled with decisions and choices that must be made. Well, he's speaking to the individual that says, well, I'm going to be doing this, and I'm going to go here and do this for a year. I'm going to buy and sell and get gain and so forth. And he asks the question in verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. In other words, we make many plans in life, and there's nothing wrong with making plans. But we make many plans in life and do not consider the Lord in our plans. Our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of heaven, our Creator and Sustainer and Redeemer, we many times make plans, make decisions, and we do not include the Lord in those decisions. And that's exactly what he is dealing with here in this passage. So when he says to the individual who says, well, here's my plans, here's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to this city, I'm going to stay in this city for a year, I'm going to buy and I'm going to sell in this city, and I'm going to get gain. He's speaking to all of us, but especially to the individual that is making plans without the Lord in that. So this is why he said in verse 14, he said, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Even in verse 15, here's what he says we ought to do or ought to say. Verse 15, he says, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. Verse 16, but now you rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Well, many times we make plans and those plans do not come to pass. The reason is, as in verse 14, we find that we have no idea what tomorrow will bring. Now, we make plans for tomorrow, but we have no idea what tomorrow will bring. And so, as one writer said, he said that life is a book, a volume of threes, past, present, and future. The first is written and laid away. The second we are writing day by day. The next and the last locked from sight, God holds the key. And I'm going to ask you this question. How would we feel if God gave us the same amount of time and attention that we devote to him? What if God put as many things ahead of us as we put ahead of him? What if God offered as many excuses as we offer, and if God's promises were no more certain than our promises? We would not be too happy with that. Well, the question is, what is your life? Well, he gives us the answer to our life. He says in verse 14, he said, it is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. Our life is as a vapor, that is like a little mist that rises up on the lake in the morning, and then it is gone as soon as the sun burns it off. It is like blowing your breath on a glass just to see it fade away. And so this is how our life is. We think that life is long, but according to the scripture, life is short. We find this all through the Word of God. Now, I want to bring three thoughts to you today that I want you to think about. And number one is this, life is filled with change. Life is filled with change. We find that even in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, in chapter 90, this psalm was written by Moses. It appears to be the only psalm written by Moses. The whole psalm is a prayer dealing with the things of life. And he tells us in Psalms 90 verse 4, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past and as a watch in the night. He's saying that 1,000 years with the Lord is just like maybe a 3 or 4 hour watch in the night. And also we are told that in verse 10, the days of our years are 70. If by reason of strength they be 80, yet in their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. The average lifespan is 70, that is 70 years. And then he goes on to say, and if by reason of strength they may be 80. So the average lifespan is between 70 and 80 years of age. And we know that to be true by looking around us. But we find here that in this passage that he goes on to say that if it is 80 years, and if it be by reason of strength, they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. It is appointed a man once to die, and after this the judgment. And we see in Holy Scripture that life is short compared with eternity, compared with the time that God has cut out of eternity for man. And we have now about 6,000 years of human history from the Garden of Eden. And so life is very short. And this is why that in Psalms 90 verse 12, he said, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Well, we are told in the Bible that we are to number our days. We're to make the best of our time, and we're to number our days because our average life is 70 to 80 years, and that will come and go. In other words, it will be soon cut off, and it will fly away. Well, first of all, life is filled with change. Filled with change. God created us according to Genesis 1 and 2, and we are creatures of time. Again, an average of 70 years in this life. And life is filled with change. Even in the book of Job, in chapter 14, the first 5 verses, we can see clearly that life is filled with change. And as we read through the entire scripture, we can see that. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we find that Solomon expressed life in a poem. And there are 28 items given that shows the sum of human activity. That is Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You can read that sometimes and see that. And very, very clear. In other words, he says that to everything there is a season and a time, and to every purpose under heaven. In other words, for an example, he said there is a time to be born and there is a time to die. There is a time to plant and there is a time to pluck up that which is planted. And he goes through a list of contrasts, 28 items here, contrasts between maybe you could say a positive and a negative, but still yet showing us the things that we experience in life. There's time to kill. There's a time to heal. There's time to break down. There's a time to build up. There's a time to weep. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn, and there's a time to dance. And he goes through this scenario showing us that life is filled with change. And again, we see in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we find that throughout that entire chapter, we find that the Lord is describing our life from birth unto death and the change that takes place in our life. One writer said the clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to say just when the hands will stop. At late or early hour, now is the only time we own to do his precious will. Do not wait until tomorrow, for the clock may then be still. And so life is filled with change. Again, Psalms chapter 90 is very clear on that as you read through the whole psalm where he deals with life itself and how that we are to live it. Well, not only is life filled with change, but life is filled with challenge or challenges. Life is filled with many challenges. And some of the passages that come to mind would be 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Apostle Paul writing about the end of his life. And he says in verse 6, 7, and 8, he said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, with which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." So life is filled with challenge, or many challenges. As we think about the Apostle Paul himself, in 2 Corinthians 11, and beginning in verse 23 through verse 30, you can see some of the challenges that he had in his life, many obstacles that he had to overcome. And, he describes the beatings, the stonings, the shipwreck, the journeys, the perils of water and of robbers and of his own countrymen and of the heathen in the city and the wilderness, in the sea, and even among false brethren. He speaks of weariness, painfulness, watchings often, hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness. And then besides all of this, the care of all the churches that he was responsible for. So life is filled with many challenges. In Job chapter 1, if you read through that chapter slowly, you'll see the challenges that came into Job's life. At the time they came, he did not understand them. So what is the purpose of our life? We are to serve God. We are to serve God. One writer said, "When you kill time, remember there is no resurrection." Another writer said, "Today is tomorrow. You worried about yesterday." Life is filled with many challenges. And this is why that in Ephesians chapter 5, in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, we're told to redeem the time. He says in verse 14, "Wherefore he saith, Wake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." In the context here in verse 18, 19, and 20, he's speaking of being filled with the Spirit, and in connection with that, we are to redeem the time. We're not to kill time or waste time. Again, a kill time cannot be resurrected. There is no resurrection for time that's wasted or killed. And so we are to redeem the time. And the way that we can do that is by the filling of the Holy Spirit and the leading of God Almighty. So life is filled with change. I mean, you know that if you've lived any time at all. Your life has many changes and turns in it, and life is filled with challenge. Every day that we wake up, there's new challenges that face us. Well, number three, life is also filled with choice or choices. In Mark chapter 8 and in verse 36, Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, it says, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" If I back up to read from verse 34 through 38, he speaks of taking up the cross and following the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, verse 34, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's sake shall then save it. But what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." That, again, that is verse 34 through 38 of Mark chapter 8. So life is filled with many choices. We must make a choice to be saved. We find that we must make a choice at where we're going to go to church, the education we're going to get, the vocation we're going to pursue, marriage, all of these things. These are choices that we have to make, and I'm telling you, we need the Lord in these choices. Moses, in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 25, Moses had to make some very wise choices when he was in Egypt. The Bible clearly tells us that he did so. It says, "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Joshua had to make choices. He said in Joshua 24:15, he said to the children of Israel, he said, "As far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Elijah said in 2 Kings 18 and 21, "Why halt you between two opinions?" In other words, if God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, then serve him. And so they are many, many choices in life that we've got to consider. And I want to read in Romans chapter 14, "And we who are Christians one day will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in our body in relation to rewards." And he says here in verse 7, he says, "For none of us liveth unto himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why doest thou judge thy brother, or why doest thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." He's speaking of Christians, speaking of the judgment seat of Christ, whereby we will receive rewards if we have been faithful to the Lord. And so all of us are accountable to God. We must make choices to live for him in this earth. One writer said, "Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." And how true that those statements are. Listen, life is filled with choices, and we must make a choice not only to be saved, but to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we might receive crowns and rewards when we stand before Him. We are accountable for the time that God has given to us. He's given us not only eternal life, but He has given us physical life, and that we might follow and serve Him. And then I want to speak to all, saved and lost. God says in Revelation chapter 20 and in verse 11, He said, "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no more place for them." And He said in verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Let me leave with you today is that you must make a choice as to where you will spend eternity. The Bible says that we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through repentance and faith. Christ died for our sins at Calvary's cross, and we're accountable to our Creator, whether saved or lost. And if you're lost today, I want to say to you clearly is that you will be accountable one day before your Creator, and you will stand before the great white throne judgment and give an account of yourselves. And if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will not enter into the kingdom of God, but you will be cast into hell. You'll be cast into the lake of fire. And He says, "This is the second death," in verse 14. Verse 15 again, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And this is why in Revelation 22:17, there's an invitation that says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Christ died for your sins at Calvary, and you can be saved through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, He says, "Thou shalt be saved," in Romans 10. I beg of you today, if you're not saved, trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you are saved, praise Him and serve Him, because again, we all will stand before God. Well, our time has come and gone again. We want to thank you for listening to the program each time. We hope it's a blessing. And if you have been blessed through it, we'd love to hear from you. Address is given at the end of the program. If you've been saved through the program, we would love to hear from you as well. Well, until next time, may God richly bless.
You have been listening to Victory Bible Time with Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. The address, Victory Baptist Church, P.O. Box 257, Codin, Alabama, 36523. Location in Codin, Alabama, on Bellengrath Road, about 3 miles south of Bellengrath Gardens. Times of services, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Again, thank you for listening to Victory Bible Time, Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. on WOSM FM 103.1. Until next time, may the Lord's blessings be upon you.